The title of today's sermon is How Do We Feel When God Says No? I know a lot of people struggle. When we pray, we expect a positive answer from God. That's why we pray. We bring our petitions before God, hoping and believing that things are going to happen. But can you believe when we hear the answer being no? One of the hardest two-letter words to hear is no, when you are expecting a solid yes answer from God. Just imagine the roller coaster one will go through, like a man asking a beautiful woman to be his bride and she says no. Praying for a job, the prospective employer say no, you are not qualified for that. And for a debilitating illness which we are suffering and we just earnestly pray for healing, can you imagine, either we don't get any answer at all, or many times the answer is no, you are not going to get any better. How horrible and devastating those kind of situations. I had gone through some of those things. It is no fun at all. Even sometimes we question our faith. Is it the right thing? Even though, you know, I have been in my faith and after my salvation, it has been a long time. I don't want to reveal that because then you will figure out my age. But it has been a long time. Yet there are times when you are expecting an yes from God for some of those supplications you bring before Him, either delayed answers. Of course, I believe that God's delays are not His denials, yet it is devastating to go through some of those experiences. And when you go through some of the things, I know the mature Christians always quote from Romans 8:28 saying, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. A good verse to quote. But imagine when somebody is going through a terrible tragedy in their life and you go and advise that guy quoting this verse. Even though we believe that that is true. I believe it, but many times that answer no is not a good one. We feel utter disappointments, discouragements, and a devastation of abandonment by an omnipotent, powerful God. He says no to our petitions. And we are waiting for a positive answer so that we can say, we can give a testimony saying is that God has done wonderful things, great things in my life. I also remember when you have been praying for a soul to be converted, to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and years and years, years and years pass by. No change at all. There is no answer at all. How devastating that will be. You know, John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. That is a biblical truth. I believe in it. But when things don't happen, even I doubt. Is it true? Yes, we know. Everything in here is true. Otherwise, it won't be there. But sometimes, doubts comes into our mind. James, in his epistles, chapter 4, 2-3 says, you do not have because you do not ask of God. When you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I get it. Okay, it is my mistake that certain things I didn't do according to the word of God. But asking for the conversion of a soul, is it asking too much? I don't know, I am totally confused with the theology behind all these things. Yet, the scripture tells me that I believe in what it says. But no answer is hard, and that brings devastation to our aspirations. Prophet Habakkuk received a revelation that God is going to let Babylonians triumph over the people of Judah and teach them few lessons of humility for forsaking Him. Of course, the prophet had a few questions to God and requests. Yet God had determined that He is not going to listen to any of His requests. He was going to go with His plan of destroying them. Let's turn to Habakkuk 3. Verse 17, though the fig trees does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Here is a answer to Habakkuk's request to God to save the people of Judah, to spare them, but he didn't. But here he is taking a big statement that let there be no good things happen, especially in an agrarian society like that of Judah, not having a good harvest, not having a lot of cattle, and all those things is so devastating. It is a matter of survival for them. Yet the prophet here says is that take everything out. Even if any of those things are not there, still I am totally okay with what you have for us. It is well with my soul. I had some disappointments, as I already mentioned. When I saw this and when I was meditating upon this, my disappointments melted away. I thought, you know what, the mortals cannot understand completely everything God has planned for us. But we have to believe. When the prophet got the revelation from God that this is my plan, his complete triumph was accepting it the way it is. Dear people of God, maybe that is our problem is. Many times we have our own agenda, we have our own plan, and we think that is the right one. And when something different comes, we have a hard time accepting it. Here the prophet says is that whatever be the negative aspects in my life, let it happen, but I still will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he is with me, he walks with me, and every step of the way when I go through these difficulties, he is there. Don't you think that is a wonderful thing to have? Rather than not have him, have God with us every step, even if we face losses, we face disappointments, devastation is a part or a portion of our life. Yet, we have to believe that if God is with us, we will rejoice in that. Until we come to that stage, it is very difficult to accept. No. I love to read Psalms because most of the Psalms when we read, it says is that, oh, I was in trouble, I was in distress, I had this, I had all those things going against him. Then at that right moment, I called upon to the Lord, and what happened? He delivered me. That's what most of the Psalms are. Of course, there are some Psalms which gives the other side of the coins too. As in 73, it says the psalmist asks why good things happen to the bad people or bad things happen to the good people, etc., etc. But always they come to a conclusion that God knows better. His understanding, his wisdom is more than I can comprehend. So I'm going to submit myself to his will. Accept whatever comes. Because as I read from Romans 8, that is going to be true. Sometimes we may not even understand that in our lifetime. Because our time and God's times are different, remember? It is only in few years or anything like that. So, there are certain things, we may not be able to see it, but things can happen later. That statement is really true. Remember, when nothing makes sense, and when troubles seem more than you can bear, God gives strength to run. Habakkuk understood that. Can we get to that point, that spiritual maturity, to understand that, then things become more bearable. Lot of suicides, lot of desperation happens as a result of not knowing what to do. But the confidence that the God in whom we believe and we serve is capable of taking us through these difficult situations. The prophet understood that. Habakkuk 3:2, I like that prayer. It says, Lord, 3:2, Lord, I have heard you ahead of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, that is in our situation, and in our own time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. We can pray that. That's a good prayer to have. And I would like to bring the reactions of this word no of few biblical characters. I like character studies. Let's see what we can learn out of those situations. First of all, I want to bring King David. And last time I was here, we have examined David's life under the influence of sin and how he got right with God by confessing his sins. Of course, many years have passed after that incident, and now David is nearing his death, and he had few things he needs to finish before his death. Some of those bucket lists, and the top of that list was building a temple for the Lord. He said, I am living in a palace. The tabernacle doesn't have a place to put. I need to put that. That was one of his strongest desires. And 1 Chronicles 17 verses from 1 to 4, it says, after David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent. Nathan, he was a little hasty in his advice. Nathan replied to David, whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you. That was not God's plan. That night, the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one who to build a house to dwell in. And the same chapter verses from 11 to 14, it is 17, 11 to 14. Prophet Nathan continued the revelation from God. Now he is telling him the revelation from God. Dear people of God, if you don't have a revelation from God, don't be hasty in giving advices. Now he got the advice. He got the revelation. And he said, when your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. And 1 Chronicles 22, 7 to 10, God gave him a reason. And David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord, my God. But this word of the Lord came to me. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name because you have shed much blood in the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Didn't I tell you sometimes our desires are fulfilled after our lifetime? Here is another one of those. But here, a big no to the king of Israel. How can that be? I thought the kings can do anything they want because they are the kings. Their decrees, their edict, and their commandment is like God's commandment. People do whatever they want to do. But when King David heard about this decision from God, usually the kings, what they do when prophets bring them some negative ideas or some wrong information, they kill them or they put them in prison. But look at David. He didn't have any temper tantrums. Have you seen when you say no to children? Have you seen their temper tantrums? They have to have it right now. But here, David, the king, the powerful man on the earth, God's anointed one, a man of his own heart, when he heard, no, you are not going to do the dearest thing you have it in mind, but your son will. He didn't have any temper tantrums. I was thinking, you know, some of the things I have in my bucket list concerning the kingdom of God, how wonderful it will be if I can do it if my son does. I really pray. I know some of the things I have in my mind I may never achieve, but I hope and pray that it will be wonderful if my son can take over that and do that. Here, David's consolation was that even if he cannot do it, his son Solomon is going to be doing this. That's God's plan. And it was totally okay with him of that plan. That was a secret. And then without having any outbursts, without having any whining, he just went to pray. We see in Chronicles chapter 17, 16 to 27 and another one in chapter 29, 10 to 19. He praised God with a grateful heart and focused on what God had allowed him to do. And then he looked back and he saw God's hand leading him and guiding him so far. And he was thinking and he was telling God that, who am I for getting all those blessings you already have given? A shepherd boy who came this far to be the king. even replacing the king God had for Israel, the first king Saul. And he has been brought this far. He achieved so many things. And David had the mindset to look back to all his other blessings. Isn't it nice when certain things are denied to us, just to take a look back and see other great and wonderful things God had done in our lives. You know, some of the Christians think that we are entitled for all the good things. The Bible doesn't teach us that. Even Jesus told his disciples, you are in this world, you are going to go through struggles and troubles. But that's not the end of it. That is a wonderful thing. That when we don't get what we are looking for, but that's not the end of for us. Those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we have a future that has been revealed already. I'm not sure at that particular time how much David knew the future. But we know, we have been told, even if things are not happening in our lives, we have a better future. He praised God for all the past blessings. And then he had peace of mind in his heart. So praising God leaves humanity out of the picture and focuses fully on exaltation of the living God. Take that into your heart, please. Praising God, when we don't get everything we wanted, leaves humanity out of the picture and focuses fully on the exaltation of the living God. The main reason David to accept this no is that he knew God was the true king over everything and God can never make a mistake. I think lack of this understanding is that drive us crazy when we don't get what we ask for. We are quick to make requests to God and tell him our desires or troubles, but the other dimensions of the things deep in our spiritual life, that God knows better. He is the one who knows everything a lot better than our own mind. And whatever he is giving us is for our own good. So David had peace of mind. He accepted God's verdict because he overlooked the current no from God and he filled his mind with all the past blessing. That is one of the things we can handle, the present disappointments. And Moses is another guy. He was a man of God who experienced the effect of resounding no from God whom he served, and he knew God a lot better than many other men. Moses was 120 years old when he died. The years of life of Moses had 340. The first 40 lives he lived in Pharaoh's palace as a prince in luxury. The second 40 years he lived a poor, desolate shepherd in Midian. And the third 40 he lived in the desert, leading a stubborn and disobedient Israelites in close communion with God Almighty. His mission was to lead the Israelites to the promised land and to spend his old days among his people in the promised land, which was flowing with milk and honey. He had seen it all, good times and bad. On this difficult journey from Egypt to Canaan, Moses had his human weaknesses expressed in few ways. But in spite of those imperfections, his obedience and devotion to God outweigh his all imperfections. And now they are almost near to the promised land. The last part of Deuteronomy chapter 32 uncovered the shocking news to Moses. During one of his usual conference calls, in verse 48, chapter 32, we see Lord telling Moses to go to Mount Nebo in Moab, across from Jericho, to take a good aerial view of Canaan. So far, so good. And Lord told him that he will die on Mount Nebo. Of course, death was inevitable. Moses accepted that. But here comes the bad news. In verse 51, he said, you are not going to get there. This is because both of you, both of means Aaron and Moses, the brothers, you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh in the desert of Zin. And because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. What a terrible news. This was his mission. This was the thing God told him to do and he was doing it to the best of his abilities. And here he says, no, you are not going to. What a devastating news to Moses it might have been. But we do not read his reaction in the Bible. He must have disappointed, of course, I know. But we don't read whether he showed some temper tantrum or he was telling God, how can you do that, or any of those things we don't receive. We don't read here. And I believe that he didn't do any of those things. Like David, he also accepted God's verdict in his life. Moses was not an ordinary man. He knew God personally. He had communion with him. And here he might have fallen on his knees and he might have worshipped. We don't read that. I am sure he might have done the same thing. And he might have also looked back. Aaron and his sister Miriam, they all perished. At least he had a chance to come and see this land which God is going to give it. That was one of the blessings in his life, and he is remembering that. In spite of that denial of entering Canaan, he said, okay, I can take it. So far, how blessed I have been. I am the one he chose to lead these people, even though they were stubborn and disobedient. And I am here, so close, yet this is God's will. I'm going to submit myself to that. He accepted it. He praised God. And then the not going there was not a showstopper at all for him. We read here in chapter 33. He started blessing the people of Israel. He was trying to take care of the things needed to be done before his death in the house. Said, Joshua need to be taken over. He has to be trained. And he told people how they have to be faithful and all those kind of things. He total acceptance of God's verdict. For Moses accepted God's will with gratitude and prepared Joshua to take over the leadership of people of Israel. Then he went to the top of Pisgah in Moab and died. Moses' reward was even better than going into the promised land. See, the no was a better thing for Moses. The Creator, the Lord Almighty himself buried him. What an honor, what an end. Great honor for Moses, even though he didn't get everything he wanted. But the blessing was already there. God gave him a better honor, more than what he deserved. He took care of even his burial. There was no funeral expenses for anybody. A wonderful, wonderful funeral happened. And now another person is Paul, I would like to bring to your attention. Among Christians, no introduction is needed about Paul. Paul is the envy of every believer because of his accomplishments for the Lord and for his kingdom. Even a person like Paul had no times in his life. 2 Corinthians 12:7 gives us a glimpse of this denial of his request. It says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of this surpassingly great revelations. I'm not going to touch that great revelation, what it was. There was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I want to touch that his physical problems he is referring to. He had a thorn in the flesh. He asked for relief from God. His answer was, no, I am not going to give you healing. My grace is what I am going to leave it with you. It will enable you to tolerate all the pain, all the troubles you have. Some people say he had some eye problems. Some people say the problem was some stomach problems. Some say he has something like malaria or Malta fever. Some even say he had epilepsy. And of course, Jewish persecution was a big thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it is. But he got a firm no. And then God's grace was the only thing he wanted. And that was the only treatment God prescribed for him. And then he triumphantly said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, like David and Moses, had a clear understanding about God's purposes, about God's wisdom for him, and his ideas and his decisions are the ultimate ones for everyone. He understood that. And rejecting his personal request was no reason for him to lose his faith in an almighty God. Are you struggling with some unresolved, unfulfilled need that constantly was not granted by our awesome God? Don't be dejected or disappointed. It's a big deal when God says no to what we want. Have you ever thought about the no's we have said to him? yet he hasn't lost his interest in us. Our existence itself is an example of his compassion and long suffering. To see that turnaround happening in our lives. Likewise, wait on the Lord for his timing to do more than we ask for, not to please us, but miracles for his glory. His no's are something which always ends for our good. Look at the cross. The one who knew no sin hanging on the cross. He is pleading in excruciating pain, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, please. Because he is taking the penalty of our sins on his body, and that excruciating pain, even the Son of God, he couldn't take it. And he is asking, if possible, God turned his face away from his own, the Holy One, because he wanted to bring many sons and daughters into glory by that suffering. If he could say no to that Holy One, can we take few no's here and there without losing our hope and faith in him? When Elijah, somebody today was talking in the first meeting about Elijah. Elijah wanted to die. Great things happened on Mount Carmel. Later on, a lot of things happened. But at the face of Ahab and Jezebel's threat, he got scared. The prophet of God, he wanted to die. He ran away from God. And then God comes to him and say, I'm not going to grant you that right now. You are not going to die. You want to die? No, you are not going to die. You have some chores for me to do before you die. Here, first was going to Damascus to anoint Azazel as king over Aram. Secondly, to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And thirdly, to anoint Elisha to succeed Elijah as prophet. There are few things for him to do. He didn't know. That is another problem we have. Maybe we don't know the will of God completely in our lives and what is planned for us. Because we cannot fathom it. God has a plan for each one of us. Can you believe it? Elijah didn't know. And as a postscript, God told him, hey, by the way, you were afraid that everybody was killed. He said, there were 7,000 people remaining in Israel who were loyal on the living God. 2 Kings 2:1 tells us the end of Elijah's life on this earth. As they, means Elijah and Elisha, they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. What an end God has planned for Elijah. It is to anybody's envy. He thought he got a no answer. God doesn't love him anymore. He's running for his life. But look at God's plan for him. He has been taken. He didn't see the death as everyone else see. What an end for him, like Moses. Unfulfilled desires, unhealed sicknesses, unplanned deaths, etc. were the experiences of some of God's favorite people. Yet none of them were disappointed, but subjected their weaknesses or unfulfilled desires of their hearts to the surpassing wisdom of God. The inner works of these men were more clearly defined and reflected on the verses Paul wrote in Romans 11:33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. I cannot understand all of that. Please go home if you haven't meditated on those verses. Read it again and again and again. You will get a glimpse of what's going on in God's mind and ours. Very hard to understand. That is such a wonderful verse to meditate upon. In conclusion, 1 Peter 5:7 asked us to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for us. And then he gives us a glorious admonition in verse 10 and 11 of the same chapter. And the God of all grace, who called you out to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Put every care and anxiety on him. He has plans for you. Now is the time to say, it is well with my soul.